Welcome to KHD Bible Study Podcast. My name is Reb Emanuel. I'm a teacher and an elder at Kehilat HaDerech Messianic Synagogue in New York City. Each week, I lead a detailed study from a Messianic Jewish perspective into the Holy Scriptures, chapter by chapter, adding historical context to the events, people, and places. Each week, passionate people gather to read the scriptures, discuss the significance, and ask questions that help to bring out a deeper understanding of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We hope you will join us as we explore the 12 prophets. Thank you all for coming. Tonight is part one of three of a three-part series on the book of Hosea. Let me start our journey by talking about something near and dear to each and every one of us who are listening: relationships. Of all the relationships humanity has, there is one that stands above all of them. Mothers should be physically, mentally, and spiritually attached to their children because they nurtured them from conception to birth. The bond should be unbreakable. I say should, because today we see mothers who attack and destroy their children in abusive relationships, not just here in this country, but all around the world. Fathers should be attached to their children in the same way, but they sometimes enter into oppressive relationships with their children, sometimes driving them to live up to their own ideas of success, and sometimes driving the children to madness, breaking their spirits, and making them feel like failures. Then there's the brotherhood and sisterhood, friends, soldiers, teammates, valid relationships. They're often forged in battle and shared conflict, but loyalty often has its limits in our modern world. Marriage between a man and a woman was one of the first divinely ordained relationships. It was created before the first child was born, before siblings became siblings. It was originally designed to be a working relationship, co-equals in Genesis 1. Later, after sin was introduced, the emotional balance was tilted. It turns out that marriage requires a great deal of effort to maintain. It takes work and commitment and constant rededication. After that initial biochemical synthesis, that burning desire that happens between a man and a woman fades, what should be left is friendship and loyalty and devotion and kindness. And those attributes should keep driving two people back together. Today, many people in our country choose what I call the Hollywood marriage style. What's the Hollywood marriage style? Okay, first there's the sneaking around. Then there's the public disclosure. Then the marriage, with all the spectacle and passion, leads to perhaps a child or maybe even two. Then in a few years, all things fall apart. Then there is the messy divorce and the back and forth accusations, publicly and privately. Then, in a few months, miraculously, rinse and repeat with a new love interest. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, but I think we all know people like this, and we can certainly see it played out in the news media. If there's one theme that describes the book of Hosea, it is that God is eternally loyal and faithful, even if his spouse is none of those things. Adonai desires a relationship with the children of Israel, a marriage contract with a people. This theme is everywhere in the Holy Scriptures. The book of Hosea takes the early relationship after the wonderful honeymoon period and gives us an overview from God's perspective. Perhaps that's the driving force behind the discussion of Hosea in the Talmud. Our friends, the sages, imagine a conversation between God and Hosea prior to Hosea chapter 1. So this is before the beginning of the book. This is found in Pesachim 87b. The Holy One, blessed is he, tells Hosea, "Your children have sinned." Hosea replies, "Master of the universe, exchange them for a different nation." The Holy One, blessed is he, asks himself, "What am I to do with this old man? I will tell him to go and take a woman of harlotry and cause her to have children in her unfaithfulness. Then I will tell him to send her away, divorce her. If he's able to send her away, then I'll send Israel away too." Time passes. After two sons and a daughter, the Holy One, blessed is he, asks Hosea, "Should you not have learned from Moses, your teacher? For as soon as I spoke to him, he parted from his wife." Hosea replied, "Master of the universe, I have children from her, and I can neither remove her or divorce her." In response to Hosea's show of loyalty to his family, the Holy One, blessed is he, rebuked him and said to him, "Just as you, whose wife is a prostitute, and your children from her are children of prostitution, and you do not even know if they are yours or if they are the children of other men. Despite this, you are still attached to them and will not forsake them. So too, I am still attached to the Jewish people who are my sons, the sons of my faithful, who withstood ordeals, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are so special that they are one of the four acquisitions that I acquired in my world." At this, Hosea realized he had sinned and begged for mercy. Now, why do I share this story? Because any faith which attempts to replace Israel is in sin. That means replacement theology is just wrong on all levels. No church can replace or be a substitute for Israel and the Jewish people. That is why Paul said that the believers are grafted into Israel through Yeshua, who is from the house of Judah. Adonai will never abandon the children of Israel, even after they die. They will still live. God agonized over punishing Israel, sending them into captivity. But in doing so, he actually blessed the whole world. And equally important is that he will return their ancestors to the land that they lost. So let's look at the prophet Hosea. Hosea's name means salvation or deliverance, depending on the source. Hosea lived in the northern kingdom of Israel. His ministry was incredibly long. It lasted for decades. The scriptures list Jeroboam II, but if you look carefully and you lay out a time chart, a timeline, and you look at the kings of Israel, you'll see that he lasted until just before the fall of Samaria. Hosea does not describe himself, unlike Amos. However, his marriage to Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, is the heart of the first three chapters. Gomer, the name Gomer, means to complete or to bring to an end. The book of Hosea is written during the reigns of Uzziah, which I've already said was a very long time period that he reigned, king of Judah, and Jeroboam II, king of Israel, who also reigned at least 40 years, all the way to the king of Ahaz. It's believed he passed away before the fall of the northern kingdom of Israel. Hosea was a contemporary of Isaiah, Jonah, Amos, and Micah, which you'll see in the word cloud on the right-hand side of this week's flyer. Let's look at a quick overview of the book of Hosea. Chapters 1 through 3 are centered on the marriage of Hosea and Gomer and demonstrate in living, dramatic fashion the breakdown of the relationship between God and the kingdom of Israel. So keep that in mind. The reason why he told him to marry this woman is so that he would demonstrate to him and to the people the level of relationship. Chapter 4 is Adonai speaking to us about his unfaithful people in Israel. As we emphasized in Amos, the dispute at this time is with the idolatrous practices of the northern kingdom. And this, chapter 4, is a clear divorce statement. In fact, chapter 4, 5, and onward is a clear divorce statement. Chapters 5 through 14 continue the indictments for betrayal. What is important here to remember is that in publicly presenting his case, there is an opportunity to repent. As a matter of fact, in chapter 6 is a beautiful plea where he says, "For he has torn, but he will bind us up." Chapter 6 is also where Adonai himself declares he values loyalty and knowledge of him more than burnt offerings. He values loyalty and knowledge of him more than burnt offerings. Hosea lived almost through the entire 28-year period before the fall of Israel. So he was there along with Micah and Amos trying to turn the people back. Chapter 11, Adonai fondly recalls the early days when Israel was young. Here you will see, even before Assyria arrives at the gates, that the Holy One of Israel, blessed is he, grieves for his people and his decision to punish his people. As a matter of fact, I can project forward or backward, I should say, and I can imagine that before he caused the flood to come on the earth and destroy all life at that time, he probably went through a grieving process just like this, perhaps talking to Noah, perhaps talking to the people in his kingdom in heaven. But the fact is, here in chapter 11, we see him expressing his grief in a very intimate way. Finally, in chapter 14, we see a time of healing. Adonai declares he will heal their backsliding. That's not minor in any way. As a matter of fact, you'll see that that theme ripples throughout the entire Holy Scriptures well after the book of Hosea. And I'll go over that when we come to that near the end here. Before we read chapters 1 through 4, I want to draw your attention to a place mentioned all throughout the Holy Scriptures. So if you can put the image on the screen, I'm going to show you something. I think it's very important that which is a precedent that we set early on in the Bible study series, where we let you see and understand about the cities, the places. Okay, yes, make that full screen. Okay. Just pick one, any one of those, and just stop there. All right, now there you see a modern highway passing through there. This area, this valley, we call it Jezreel. It's actually pronounced Yisrael. Yisrael. But we call it in English Jezreel. I'm going to tell you some amazing things about this place, because Adonai promises to put an end to Israel in Jezreel in the book of Hosea. He also promises to plant the survivors of Israel in this valley in the end times. And he does it with a beautiful wordplay, which we're going to talk about later. Jezreel, believe it or not, this beautiful valley has been a battleground for all of human history. Let's take a look at that other slide, the other image. Many of you have probably seen this view. The name Yisrael, as we call it, means God sows. But the amazing thing about that name is it also means God scatters. You see, when you in ancient times, when a farmer planted a seed, he often just tossed it out into the wind and in the rows as he walked through the rows. So God sows and God scatters. This is a lush, beautiful valley, as you can see from these modern pictures. Today, the fields are watered by an ancient spring that always flows. Since the beginning, this valley has always had this ancient spring that waters it. Today, they grow grapes and olives. It protects the way of the sea. Now, those of you who are reading Exodus will be familiar with that term. The way of the sea is along the Mediterranean. It's also, the valley is also on the other side of it, is the path to Samaria and Jerusalem, called the Way of the Patriarchs. So, just to set the stage, if you're going from north to south, you have to pass through this valley. If you're going to Samaria and Jerusalem, you have to pass through this valley. 30 times Jezreel is mentioned in the scriptures. It's first mentioned in Joshua, Judges, and Samuel. Now, let me give you a little history about this place because I wanted to solidify it in your mind before we deliver the last piece of information. Saul and Jonathan fall in these fields in 1 Samuel 31. This beautiful valley is where kings fought and where Jezebel met her fate, trampled under chariot, Jehu's chariot, eaten by dogs. The Greeks built a village here called Esdraelah. It's the Greek way of saying Israel. During the Crusades, the Knights of the Templar Order fortified the area to protect the road to Jerusalem. They would use it to ambush armies passing through. Jezreel and the adjacent area, we all know, is what we call today Armageddon. It has seen more than 34 bloody battles in the past 4,000 years. In addition to the Israelites, there were battles fought by the Mongols from Asia, Napoleon, the Ottomans, the British, Muslims, and the Arab Liberation Army have all had battles in this valley. And I shortened the list. Pretty much any empire coming through here has fought a battle in this valley. All right. Now, Jezreel, as I said before, is the place that Adonai has promised he will plant the survivors of Israel in this valley in the end times. And he does that through a beautiful wordplay. It's the wordplay is in Hosea 1, chapter 1 and chapter 2. If you blink, or if you stick faithfully to one version, you probably would miss it. But these verses, this wordplay is significant all the way into the Brit Hadashah. As we said earlier, Jezreel means God sows, and God, it also means God scatters. That was the first son. The second child was a daughter whose name was Lo-ruhamah, Lo-ruhamah. I will no longer have mercy. And the third child is named Lo-Ami or Lo-Ami, Lo-Ami, not my people. And as we read this chapter, you're going to see how that wordplay comes into effect. But I'll just quickly summarize it. Let me start over. In chapter 2, in verse 23, it will be in that day I will respond. It is a declaration about Adonai. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth. And the earth will respond with grain, new wine, and fresh oil. And they will respond with Jezreel. Now, remember, I said today, in this valley right now, they're growing wine, grapes, and olives, olive oil, or olives, I should say. So, in verse Hosea chapter 2, verse 23 to 24, it will be in that day. And we know from previous studies that in that day always points to the future time. That time that we call the day of the Lord, or the time after the day of the Lord. It is a declaration. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond with grain, new wine, and fresh oil. And in the next verse, I will sow her in the land for myself. I will have compassion on Lo Ruhamah, which means she has not received mercy. So he's saying, to break through the wordplay, I will sow her, the remnant, in the land for myself. I will have compassion, which means he will have compassion on Lo Ruhamah, which means she who has not received mercy. I will say to Lo Ami or Ami, you are my people. And they will say, my God. Hosea 2, verses 25. Now, what's wonderful about this is that these are the names of the children that he gave, that he asked Hosea to name his children through his wife Gomer. And that same theme appears in the Brit Hadashah. I'm going to go over those. But before I do that, I want to point out something. Most of our English translations say, I will say, Lo Ami, you are my people. When in Hebrew, it simply says, I will say, Velo Ami, Ami, Ata. So he's saying, I will say to not, I will say not to Lo Ami, my people. He was saying, I will say, Lo Ami, you are my people. Unfortunately, because of the syntax and the arrangement of Hebrew, it's a little confusing to translate into English. So often you'll see words just dropped out and they'll say, you are my people, and they will say, my God. I wanted to point that out for those of you who are studying Hebrew because it's a beautiful wordplay throughout these entire two chapters, those two chapters. Very poetic. So, does anything about that, those names and those two verses remind you of anything from the Brit Hadashah? Okay, I'll answer the question for you. You are my people is quoted in Romans 9:25. And what if he did so to make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory? Even us he called, not only from the Jewish people, but also from the Gentiles. As he says also in Hosea, I will call those who are not my people, and her who was not loved, beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. So in this valley that you're looking at on the screen, for those of you who are live, I'll make it available for those of the podcast at a future point. But for those of you who are live, this is the valley where he will say to them that that they will call his people the sons of the living God, the remnant returned after the time of trouble. Moving ahead, 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10. But you, now listen to these words carefully, because contrast these with what you are going to hear in Hosea. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You were shown no mercy, but now you have been shown mercy. Do you see how the book of Hosea has a powerful effect all throughout the Holy Scriptures. It seems like it's a wonderful book on its own, and it's dealing only with Israel and its time frame. But in effect, it's giving us a prophecy of something that's going to happen, possibly in our lifetimes, and if not in our lifetimes, in the lifetimes of our children. Okay. So now let us go ahead and read the book of Hosea.
Hosea 1. The word of Adonai that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. When Adonai first spoke with Hosea, Adonai said to Hosea, "Go, get yourself a prostitute as a wife, and children with a prostitute. For the land is an unfaithful prostitute, far from following after Adonai." So he went unto Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then Adonai said to him, "Name him Jezreel, for in yet a little while I will visit the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and I will destroy the kingdom of the house of Israel. In that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." Then she conceived again and bore a daughter. And he said to him, "Name her Lo-ruhamah, for no longer will I have compassion on the house of Israel that I should ever pardon them. But on the house of Judah I will have compassion and deliver them by Adonai, their God, yet not by bow, sword, or battle, nor by horses and horsemen." After she weaned Lo-ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then he said, "Name him Lo-ami, for you are not my people, and I'm not yours. Yet the number of Bnei Israel will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or counted. Instead of 'you are not my people' being said to them, they will be called children of the living God. Then the descendants of Judah and descendants of Israel will be gathered together. They will appoint themselves one head, and they will go up from the land, for the day of Jezreel will be great. Say you to your brothers, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, contend with your mother, contend, for she is not my wife, nor I her husband. Let her put away her fornications from her face and her adulteries from between her breasts, or else I will strip her naked and expose her as on the day she was born. Then I will make her like a wilderness. Yes, I will make her like desert land, and I will let her die of thirst. I will have no compassion for her children, for their children of prostitution, for their mother has practiced prostitution. She who conceived them has been shameful, for she said, 'Let me go after my lovers, who have given me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink.' Therefore, see, I will hedge her in with thorns, and I will build a wall around her, so she cannot find her paths. Then she will chase after her lovers, but she will not overtake them. She will seek them, but not find. Then she will say, 'Let me go and return to my first husband, for was it better for me then than now?' But she did not realize that I myself gave her the grain, the wine, and the fresh oil. I lavished on her silver, also gold, which they made into bao. Therefore, I will return and take back my grain in its season, and my new wine at its appointed time, and I will snatch away my wool and my linen for covering her nakedness. So now I will uncover her lewdness to the eyes of her lovers, and no one will rescue her from my hand. I will also put an end to all her rejoicing, her feasts, her new moon, the Shabbat, and all her moedim. I will also devastate her vines and her fig trees, of which she said, 'These are my payment that my lovers have given to me.' But I will turn them into a thicket, and beasts of the field will devour them. Then I will punish her for the days of the Baalim, to whom she would burn incense, adorning herself with her rings and jewelry, going after her lovers. But me she forgot. It is a declaration of Adonai. So then I myself will entice her. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak to her heart. I will give her back her vineyards from there and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. She will respond there as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of the land of Egypt. In that day, it is a declaration of Adonai. You will proclaim, 'My husband,' and never again call me my Baal. Then I will remove the names of the Balaam out of her mouth, no longer to be mentioned by their name. In that day, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the flying creatures in the sky, and the creeping things on the ground. I will break into pieces the bow and sword and warfare from the land, and I will cause them to lie down securely. Then I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me with righteousness, justice, covenant, loyalty, and compassion. I will betroth you to me with faithfulness, and you will know Adonai. So it will be in that day I will respond. It is a declaration of Adonai. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth. And the earth will respond with grain, new wine, and fresh oil, and they will respond with Jezreel. I will sow her in the land for myself. I will have compassion on Lo Ruhamah. I will say to Lo Ami, you are my people, and they will say, my God.
Chapter 3. Then Adonai said to me, "Go again, love a woman who is loved by a companion and committing adultery, just as Adonai loved Bnei Yisrael while they were turning to other gods and loving raisin cakes. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and an omer and a half of barley. Then I said to her, 'For many days you must stay with me. You must not practice prostitution. You must not have a man, and I will be the same towards you. For Bnei Yisrael will remain for many days without king, without prince, without sacrifice, without sacred pillar, and without ephod or teraphim. Afterwards, Adonai Yisrael will return, and they will seek Adonai their God and David their king. Then they will turn in awe to Adonai and to his goodness in the last days.'" Chapter 4. "Hear the word of Adonai, Bnei Yisrael, for Adonai has a dispute with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no covenant loyalty, and no knowledge of God in the land. Curse, deceive, murder, steal, commit adultery. They practice violence, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone dwelling in it will languish along with the beasts of the field and the flying creatures of the sky. Even the fish of the sea will be removed. Yet let no one dispute and let no one argue. Your people are like a Kohen who stumbles, who makes quarrels. So you will stumble by day. Also, a prophet will stumble with you by night when I destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Since you rejected the knowledge, I will also reject you from being my Kohen. Since you forgot the Torah of your God, just so I will forget your children. The more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into disgrace. They feed on the sin of my people and relish their iniquity, but it will be like people, like Kohen. So I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They have eaten but will not be satisfied. They have fornicated, but will not increase, for they stopped giving heed to Adonai. Prostitution and wine, even new wine, it takes away understanding. My people consult their wooden idol, and their divining rod informs them, for a spirit of prostitution leads them astray. And they have been a prostitute out from under their God. they sacrifice on the mountaintops and on the high places. They burn incense under oak, poplar, and terebinth, for its shade is good. Therefore, your daughters are prostitutes, and your daughters-in-law commit adultery. Will I not punish your daughters for prostitution or your daughters-in-law for adultery? For they consort with prostitutes and they sacrifice with cult prostitutes. A people without understanding will be thrust down. Though you, Israel, are a prostitute, let Judah not become guilty, but do not come to Gilgal or go up to Beth Aven, and do not swear as Adonai lives, for Israel is stubborn like a stubborn cow. Now Adonai will pasture them like a lamb in the open field. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their liquor has come to an end. They surely have practiced prostitution. Her rulers have deeply loved disgrace. A wind will wrap her up in its wings. They will be ashamed of their sacrifices.
Thank you all for your reading tonight. There's one last thing I'd like to add before we end tonight. I read earlier that there were four possessions, but if you read further on in the Talmud, you'll see that there are five possessions that are listed as belonging to the Holy One. Blessed is He. I'm going to read that passage for you. Five possessions that the Holy One, Blessed One, set aside as his own in this world. And they are the Torah, one possession, heaven and earth, another possession, Abraham, another possession, Israel, another possession, and the temple, another possession. And I want to make sure that I correct the, although the Talmud says the temple, and they make the reference to Psalm 78:54. It more accurately or more correctly should be termed not the temple, but the sanctuary. And if you read Psalm 78:54, you'll see that it says, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. And it says, and he brought them to his holy realm, to the mountain, which his right hand had possessed. So understand that the sanctuary and loyalty and knowledge of God is what he actually requires, what he expects of us. Burnt offerings are wonderful and they will be reestablished. But it's the heart, which is where loyalty and faithfulness comes from. That's what he's expecting from us. I wanted to make sure that we understood that in case anyone asked that question, because I'm sure that someone will at some point. Next week, we will be looking further into the adulterous relationships and the charges against Israel. One thing I want to make very clear, like I said last week, I have had former Catholic priests and others use these same verses against me to show that God does not approve of the holy days, the Shabbat, the new moons, the whole bit. Again, I'm going to emphasize this and I'm going to keep re-emphasizing this. God is talking about the Moedim and the new moons of the people of Israel who were worshiping Baal, not his people in Jerusalem, not the people in the southern kingdom who still had the temple. He was not happy with the adultery of the people in the northern kingdom of Israel who had turned to Baal and Asherah and other gods and set up their own calves, their golden calves for worship. These are the things that copycat, false practice that he was disgusted with. Don't let anyone deceive you into thinking that he has ever expressed those things about his people in his land, practicing in the temple or in the Mishkan or in the Beit HaMikdash. So, thank you all for coming. Join us again next week. I wish you all well. Thank you for joining us on our journey through Trei Asar, the 12 prophets. Join us each week as we look in detail at each of the 12 prophets. In the words of Malachi, then those who revere Adonai spoke with each other, and Adonai took notice and heard, and a scroll of remembrance was written before him for those who revere Adonai, even those who esteem his name. So they shall be mine, says Adonai Tzavuot, in the day I will make my own special possession. So I will spare them as one spares his son serving him. Malachi 3:16 through 17.